order the special meeting of the Georgetown Divide Public Utility District here on Thursday, September 19th at 2 p.m. All directors are present. Well, actually, that's not my... Let's do a roll call.
Roll call. Okay, Director Garcia?
Here.
Director Halpin?
Here.
Director Saunders?
Here.
Director Souza?
Here.
Director Wadley?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance. Go ahead and lead us. Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. We'll entertain a motion to adopt the agenda, please.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Gloria, roll call when you get a chance, please.
Roll call. Oh, okay. Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay, 5-0, thank you. So item number three, public forum. So again, this is for items that are not on the agenda. We're going to have public comment for the new business item as well, obviously like we always do. So this is anything that's not on the agenda at this time. So Shereen, you have something?
I attended the Finance Committee meeting yesterday, and we were given the draft leak policy and discontinuation policy, but it was not included in the packet. So I'd like to submit it into today's agenda. There's 15 pages. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Public comment? Seeing none? Okay, we will close public comment and move on to item four, new business discussion. And consider removing members from the Finance Committee. I don't think there's really a staff report from Steve. It's pretty self-explanatory here what goes through. I know Director Halpin made a request to add this item. I don't know if there's any comments you'd like to make.
No.
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion. That Don Waltz and Steve Miller be removed from the Finance Committee.
Okay. Okay, so we have a motion. We still need to do, we definitely need to do comments. Obviously, we need to do public comment as well. And then we'll bring it back to the board for action on the motion. If that's agreeable with the board.
Do you need, do you need a second with the new policy? Do you need a second before you have discussion?
Well, no, usually we do it with the, you kind of jump the gun. We normally we do the questions and comments and the presentation, then we do public comment, then we do the motion.
I'm going to grab the, I didn't bring that. I printed it out, I think I printed it out. Did I give it to you? No, that's not. That's not what I
Well, okay, so anyways.
Can we check into
what
that?
That's what I'd like
point
to.
Of order?
Yeah, point of order. I'd like to clarify that first before we move on.
What we said our policy was, yeah.
Let's check our policies so that we don't have an open motion on the table before discussions.
Yeah. For everyone, please.
Sorry, didn't get the cheat sheets yet. This is ahead of our regular scheduled meetings. So. Thank you.
printing, but it does say generally you take comment before the motion.
Okay. Well, then I withdraw my motion.
Okay. We're good. So comments. Dr. Saunders, I believe you had some comments.
Yeah, I have a liaison report. So I sit here with the finance committee. So why are we here? Mainly, one of the reasons is the previous meeting and also our resolution for the finance committee. So there's a lot of things that are in there that aren't clarified, and there's certain procedures and practices that are followed or aren't followed or haven't been followed. So when they come up, has always caused questions. The previous meeting was brought up the fact that we were going to have a Brown Act training at the next finance committee meeting. So the question was brought up on what are the costs for having an attorney show up to the Brown Act training. And they talked prior to that about the benefits of having a lawyer there as opposed to they would be defending if there were any Brown Act violations, and the fact that legal counsel would be in defense so you can use them for make sure everybody's on the same page. But the most important reason is that as legal counsel, if there are any questions to be asked, only legal counsel has the expertise between the staff and anybody else who provides this training that they'd be able to give it to everybody. The law just recommends that everybody needs to be aware of the Brown Act, but there is no specifics as to how it's trained. So you can get it from a seminar or a pamphlet or a book or whatever. The district recommends to have a training where everybody's there. That's one way the staff had recommended. This way, everybody's able to get the same training at the same time, and we know everybody has had the same information. The problem when after Mr. Waltz questioned about the attorney, then the response came up about why attorneys needed to be at the meetings, and I knew when that came up that that was going to be the focus, and everybody lost track of the initial stuff that occurred. And I knew this was the case because I had to spend time talking to members afterwards about the Brown Act as it came up, because that was lost after the discussion that occurred between the GM and Don Waltz about attorneys. And then the next issue that came up was the email that went to everybody when the chair was trying to discuss the agenda items with the general manager, followed by the general manager's email, which kind of took out my ability to be liaison then, because once that went out to all the boards and finance members, now I can no longer talk, because now that's a Brown Act violation. So then when the general manager's email went out about the first email that went out that Steve sent out accidentally, which was discussing issues on the agenda, his memo to everybody kind of stopped me from being able to be liaison and discuss anything with anybody anymore, because now it would be a Brown Act violation. But that information went to all of the members, the board members, and the finance committee members. So the three issues was the agenda, the Brown Act, and the minutes. So the whole issue is, as the finance committee, they were trying to make sure to keep costs down and not have any excessive spending or inefficient spending. So the issue was made, if there was not going to be enough people at this meeting, should we have a Brown Act presentation by a lawyer for two people, followed by another training for whoever else was there? So that was one of the issues they were looking at. The Brown Act training provided by our legal counsel is not free. They don't do it by their own free will. We have to pay for the mileage, for the lawyers coming up, we pay for their time, and if they charge us for any preparation that they have to do with the Brown Act, we pay for that as well. So it's not a free training, so if we had two, we would have to pay for it twice. So I can understand why that was asked. And then the questions were raised on if we can give our own affidavits or whatever on the Brown Act. And I guess the discussion then was found out, all right, yes, we agree and we'll do that. But none of those discussions made it out to us afterwards, because we just had the one email and everything after that is not seen. Then the other problem with the minutes was, because of the discussion, I'm sure the secretary wanted to put in the fact on what the district's position was on having attorneys at meetings to discuss with cost. And the secretary lost his email access at that point, so we weren't able to contact him via email, and then he was also away. So he wasn't able to provide the minutes at that time. So it showed up on the agenda report for adoption of minutes, and Steve Miller was like, we don't have minutes yet, so we need to remove this so we can approve it. And then when the agenda came out with minutes that were drafted by our general manager, that's when he was concerned about why is your minutes here, and the secretary didn't have a chance to do minutes. And that's why I brought the Finance Committee resolution that we have, because in the email that the general manager sent out, he said his recollection was that staff was doing minutes, and then when I came on to the Finance Committee that I volunteered to do the minutes. But if you look at the resolution in section 2, number 8, an officer, the committee shall designate from among its members a chair, vice chair, and secretary. And then if you go down to secretary, it says the secretary or another member, if the secretary is absent, shall prepare agendas and minutes of every meeting and shall be responsible for transmitting the agenda and the final copy of all minutes to the general manager or designee. So prior to me going on to the Finance Committee, it was Donna Bruce was doing the minutes, and she did it until the point she was sick, and then she had to stop coming. And at that time, staff started doing the Finance Committee minutes because she was unable to attend. Then when I was on and I became elected as secretary, I took it as my duty as secretary to do the minutes, and Rick Gillespie gave me all of Deborah's stuff so I can follow up in the minutes as she did it. So it wasn't a volunteer thing. It was as I became secretary, I chose to do it as my responsibility as secretary. So then I was elected, and same thing again. We lose a bunch of members off the Finance Committee, so we didn't have enough to maintain secretary. So also, since we don't have any formal way that says that once you're on the board that you're no longer on the Finance Committee, although it's understood, because I would still be there as liaison, I just wanted to make it clear to everybody that I resigned officially as a member from the Finance Committee, and I'm liaison, and I will continue doing minutes until time this committee is full and elects a secretary. And once they elected Don Waltz, I gave the secretary position and all the information I had to him, and he was doing minutes. And the problem is when we have roles that we give to people as community volunteers and we don't allow them to do it, then we are kind of taking away what's the point of them having the time, commitment, and service when they're coming up to these meetings. So that was one of the issues that they probably had and saw as well. So those were the issues that surrounding it. And it's pretty bad that we've got here where we couldn't have any talk with anybody, no mediations, one mistake on an email. And then the other issue I have is, as chair, did you ever discuss with the general manager on how you were to operate and work on agendas and dealing with those items?
No.
So that's the other issue, and then my issue as well is, as liaison, I never had the chance to either work between the general manager and the Finance Committee members or the board and bring it up, so I was also out of the process as well, so that's what I have to add.
Okay. Thank you. Any additional comments, questions?
Yes, I've got quite a few.
Okay.
I too have some concerns that we're here today because an email was put out, and because of that email that was put out, policies and procedures were not followed by those that were tasked in the leadership responsibilities. We have a general manager who didn't respect the boundaries of the resolution and overstepped his duties and responsibilities by completing minutes for a Finance Committee when it should have been remained into the secretary's responsibility of the finance committee. Overstepping bounds like that is bound to happen, and people do make mistakes, but it should be the leadership of the board and the board's discussion that we correct issues like this so that those who are working in these capacities understand their expectations. And then we can correct issues so they don't happen again in the future. And I didn't see that happening before we got here today. Not to say that we can't have it happen in the future. I think we can learn from this lesson and make some corrections so it doesn't happen again, so that we don't have to shirk responsibilities and get here without going through certain processes and procedures to mitigate a problem before it becomes an issue that brings the board together, basically, is a waste of our time.
Okay.
The other concern that I have is that our general manager, if he had an issue with an email from a finance committee member, or even for that matter, a board member, he didn't follow proper policies and procedures and proper channels to invoke the liaison for the finance committee. In doing so, he not only was disrespectful to Director Saunders in that capacity, but he was very disrespectful to the rest of us board members, because we were also cut out of that procedure. If there was an issue with a staff member, they would bring it to the general manager. The general manager, by policy, should have brought it to the liaison for the finance committee member. Finance committee member should have done the actions according to the policy to try to mitigate the issue. If he couldn't mitigate the issue, he should have brought it back to the board for us to discuss and for us to provide guidance and direction to not only staff, but possibly the general manager and the member of a finance committee, again, to right a wrong, learn from it, and provide additional training and mentoring, guidance, directions, instructions, whatever it may be, to make sure the issue didn't happen again. And again, I didn't see that happen before we're called here today. That's another problem. The other concern that I have, which I think is very disconcerting, is that there are quite a few board members here who participated in the CSDA Leadership Academy, where we, on the onset, the very first day, the very first session of the first day of a 2.5-day conference, learned the best management practices for roles and responsibilities of board members. And I provided that handout, I provided the summary of the class and the instructions and principles we received. I even brought it up again at the last board meeting that it's our responsibility as a board to guide the direction of this water district. And in doing so, that means taking upon ourselves as a team our responsibility for guiding the ongoing activities of the finance committee. And we're not doing that. In not doing that, we're not only shirking our responsibility as a board, collectively again as a team, but we're setting the finance committee up to fail. We're not providing them with any kind of expectations, guidance, mentoring, training, counseling, whatever it is they need to ensure their success. Which means we're failing. If we fail the finance committee, we fail the board, we fail each other, we fail this community. And one email has led us here today to hopefully make us all realize this, and we have the opportunity here to make some changes. One of the last points I'd like to make is that as a board member and part of this team, I find it very discouraging that one member can bring us all here today by having an issue, making a request to the board chair, getting his item on the agenda, and getting a meeting 24 hours after that. When Mike and I, Director Saunders and I, have asked for months to get repeated items on the agenda and were repeatedly ignored. What this means is I'm very disappointed in the leadership of this board, I'm disappointed in the board, and I want to be the team member that has the backbone to bring it to our attention, and then the backbone for all of us to go forward to do something about it and correct these issues. The way this district is going to be successful is if one of the parts that they have to their advantage is a strong finance committee. We have a strong finance committee. For the first time in a long time, we have more than two out of three or four or five individuals that have a strong background in finance, in management, in budgets, in accounting. If we lose them, when we haven't even done our own responsibility as a board to ensure their success, then again, we're failing this community, we're failing this water district. And I, for one, want to be a part of the team that has the foresight to see into the future that we've got the opportunity here to fix that now. Fix it now, change it for the better, support this finance committee by doing what we should be doing. And that's giving them the tools that they need to succeed.
Okay. Thank you. Any additional comments, or are we open up for public comment? Seeing none. So, so here's how I'd like to do this. Through our policy, our board meeting conduct policy that we just approved, I guess, the month of last meeting. Policy 5030.4.1 allows a maximum of 20 minutes on each subject matter for public comment. So I'd like to, I assume we have a few people who want to speak, so I'd like to go with that 20 minutes. I think it's appropriate outside of that for certainly Mr. Miller and Mr. Wallace, if you'd like to make some comments first, and then we'd start the 20 minutes for additional folks to talk after that. So that way you, otherwise, you know, the two finance committee members wouldn't be taking up a portion of the 20 minutes. That seems reasonable, fair, or something to try to have this conversation with the public comment and make sure that people are heard. When we get to the end of that 20 minutes, the policy also allows the board president to allow additional public comment if necessary. So kind of make that determination and see where we go from there.
That's agreeable to me.
Okay. So, Mr. Miller, if you'd like to please make some comments.
I do. I have a statement to read because I want to make sure it's inclusive.
Okay.
What I was accused of is trying, by telephone from a board member, was trying to block the coverage of the Brown Act. Did I do that? No. I tried to look for less expensive ways to accomplish the task. Read and sign and pay for questions, teleconference, saves travel cost of half the fee. Bringing legal counsel to Georgetown would cost at least 3 to 4 hours at $300 to $400 an hour. Do the math. There's a state-sponsored tutorial, better than the one we received, online with a link to legal advice, and it's all free. The GM basically cut off our discussion of that in the finance meeting. His quote in the most recent finance committee meeting when we attempted to look at ways to reduce this Brown Act coverage was, "Here's my spiel, an attorney's right now. You guys can all listen to it and then do whatever you want. It's really simple. An ounce of prevention is a pound of cure. Period. That's it. You need them in here to tell you what to do so you don't get sued. And if you get sued, it's your own fault. So that's why. So I'm always going to consult with them. I'm always going to bring them here to give you the training you need to make sure you are following the law. And I am always going to bring them to the board and bring them to tell the board that they need to do to follow what they need to do to follow the law. And I'm always going to say they need to be in the meeting to make sure, and not this meeting, but the board meeting to make sure that they're not doing anything wrong at those meetings. And that's it. Because the consequences, if you don't, are dire, and it's not worth trying to save a penny in order to get sued later for $1 million. Sounds reasonable? Does the GM board know that in 66 years there's not been a successful litigation Brown Act that resulted in a fine? One of the state senators referred to it as a toothless proposition. Does Consul even know, or did she tell them? Does the public know that the GM's position has him 33% over budget now and growing? Council claimed that two board members cannot hold a town meeting. Section 3 of Brown Act says they can. Rendering or refunding a 35-year overcharge estimated at $1.4 million is, quote, gifting public funds. Separate legal advice says it's a refund, not a gift. Refunds happen every day. But enough of that. What's the real issue that caused the uproar? Again, in my short tenure as the chair of the Finance Committee, the GM has made two unauthorized ventures into our business. The chronology of the most recent one was, I got an email from the GM that said, here's a draft for the agenda September. My three items are on it. Can you add yours? I told him I had no agenda items, but I did need to remove the minutes approval because the minutes were not yet prepared. The GM said, okay, and I also told him I was concerned about a quorum because we had one member that had reported that she was going to be leaving the district. We had one member who was busy most of the time and didn't appear very often. And Mr. Waltz was out of the area and unavailable. So I was concerned that we would have three people, which is not a quorum on a six-person committee. I didn't want the lawyer to drive all the way up here for a non-meeting and drive all the way back at our expense. The GM said he would deal with the quorum. It was a staff responsibility, and I said, okay. He emailed me later, said he had a quorum if I would attend. He suggested he could write the minutes. I responded, I will be there. I did not respond to his minutes suggestion as it's not current policy. I made the assumption that we were going to meet, cover the two policy items that he had on the agenda, have the seminar, and adjourn. On Saturday, I discovered on the website that there was an agenda with minutes approved with minutes written by the GM. I didn't know that he was going to write the minutes. I did not understand why he wrote the minutes, and I didn't understand why we needed to approve minutes that I perceived to be incorrect and incomplete. That's why I wrote the email. It was about a procedural thing that I didn't want to have to do in public. And so at the end of my email, I said that I would not attend, and I encouraged other members of the committee not to attend either so we could deal with this in private and get on with business in public. I had even asked in the early portion of our discussions if we could move the meeting out a week. I got no response to that. So the issues, he did not honor my request to remove the minutes. That's a violation of policy. He wrote minutes. That's a violation of policy. He did not communicate to me for permission or even to report having done minutes incorrectly and incomplete. My action, I sent the email to the board of directors and the finance committee stating the problem, suggested the finance committee members consider not to attend as a way to postpone the meeting. I did not want to conduct a procedural battle in public, which that's a dead issue now. The GM's response was to express surprise at my email through an email he sent out. He also stated minutes don't need to be detailed, just what was voted on and not why. Outcome, I attended the meeting, we covered policy issues, we held the seminar with legal attendance, and we incurred the cost. Conclusion, my actions had nothing to do with preventing the Brown Act. Nothing. And when I was told that was why you were removing me from the board, I was a little bit distressed because it simply is not true. I was looking for ways to do it more economically that would satisfy all the needs that we had to cover the Brown Act. Conclusion, my action had nothing to do with preventing the Brown Act coverage. My action dealt with the GM's violation of policy pertaining to his duties and those of the Finance Committee. I think the purpose of the Finance Committee is to accomplish the task of completing service to this community in the most economic and efficient and transparent way possible. We cannot lose sight of the fact that we work for the people behind me. My efforts regarding the Brown Act were to reduce cost but to ensure coverage. I also believe it's my duty as the chair of the Finance Committee to block all incursions of authority granted to the committee by GDPUD policy and to provide accurate minutes on what we accomplished and why we accomplished it. As a footnote, I do kind of resent the fact that today's action was taken with discussion with the general manager, without so much as one question from the official board. So that's kind of like you want to interview the one party and then hold a trial for the other. If you want any references on where I got the information on the tutorial or the litigation, I'd be more than happy to provide it.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Provide it. Mr. Ross, if you have some comments as well, I'll give you 5 minutes to...
I just need to...
Have some comments.
I guess just a little elaboration on what I understand to be my involvement in this issue is that I received a voicemail message from Mr. Halpin in which he said that he wanted to remove me from the Finance Committee because Mr. Miller had indicated that he, Mr. Miller, myself, and Mr. McDonald are willing to sign affidavits to the effect that we understand this act. And it seems that by acknowledging that we're willing to sign affidavits, that we've somehow become obstructions to a training event. And that wasn't the case. What we were trying to do by offering to sign affidavits was explore ways of reducing the legal costs of the training. And signing affidavits was just one part of that. We were talking about teleconferencing. We were talking about having a special meeting of the Finance Committee following a board meeting so that an attorney didn't have to travel twice. We could combine meetings, have an attorney present for the training, and not pay for the transportation twice. So we were looking at alternatives. That's all we were trying to explore. The affidavits was one way of effecting that cost savings. And nothing else. There wasn't any intent to obstruct training. That's all I have is a comment.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So now we will do general public comment, for lack of a better term. I'm just getting a clock here ready so that way we have the timer going, or the staff, whoever, we can do it. So we'll start with, we're going to start with 20 minutes, and then we'll see where we're at from there. As I said, the policy allows the board president to allow additional comments, and we'll see where we're at. So,
do you want to time each individual time speaker, or just the 20 minutes?
I would request that you start the clock when the first person speaks, stop it when they stop, let someone else come up when they start speaking, do that again. So that way you're not losing time if you're going from the back or you're walking up. That doesn't seem fair to me. So, okay, so who would like to, who has public comment? Who would like to speak? Okay, she jumped up first, so please come on up.
Hi, I'm one of your constituents from Garden Valley. This could be viewed as somewhat of a peripheral issue, but I actually think that the issue is central, and that is how did we come to be here to begin with. Looking at your policy number 5020, which is your board meeting agenda, it states here that the general manager, Mr. Palmer, and the board president work together in cooperation to prepare agenda items. Here it says any director may contact the general manager and request any item to be placed on the agenda no later than 12 days prior to the next meeting. And if you look at the policy, you'll see no qualifier, no rubric as to how it is determined. Juxtaposed, for example, to 5020.2.2, which talks about members of the public who placed an agenda item, made a request for an agenda item. There, the board president and the general manager discuss whether or not the matter is directly related to district business. And in that case, the rubric is clear as to how an agenda item gets denied. That said, I, as a constituent, I voted for both Ms. Garcia and Mr. Saunders, and it is my understanding that no matter how many times they ask you, Mr. Palmer, over the last 9 months, they are unable to get any items on the agenda, and these are items that we want discussed. Now, we look at this special meeting here today. how did this meeting get onto the agenda? Well, Mr. Halperin requested to Steve Palmer 24 hours in advance, hey, I want to have a special meeting to remove these board members. And that meeting, not only was it put onto the agenda, but within 24 hours there was a special hearing called. And I want to know, how is it determined that what Mr. Halperin wants makes it onto agenda, and not just onto the agenda, but into a special meeting? And yet, what Ms. Garcia and Mr. Saunders have been asking repeatedly, month after month after month after month after month after month, cannot get an item onto the agenda. This is unacceptable. And speaking of optics, counsel, you might have a little bit of a problem because we've got the only African-American man and the only woman on this board, and they cannot get an agenda item onto this committee. And we could end up talking about this in federal court, and that's where it would be. It will not be an El Dorado County judge. It will be a district court judge in the Eastern District of California, and that's who we'll be talking to. So I want to know, how did this end up on the agenda, and how come they can't get anything on the agenda?
This is public comment, so I'm not going to be addressing that.
Okay, well, I will
and she's also not legal counsel, just so you know.
Oh, you're the clerk, okay. Well, you don't have counsel here today.
That's correct.
Okay. I wish you were.
Okay, so you got to stop on that, please. Okay, go ahead. Yes, you, please. Sorry, I don't know your name, so I'm taking you.
It's Charlotte Miller.
Charlotte, thank you.
My country cousin.
Okay.
Mr. Miller.
I'm here.
Steve?
Hold on. I was going to like 3 minutes.
Okay.
So, go ahead and hit the pause.
The definition of volunteer is a person who chooses freely to do or offer to do something. These people on the Finance Committee have volunteered for you to help you in your board do the finances for this district. This is at their expense and everything else. They're there to make suggestions to you. That this is my understanding. If I make any mistakes, please feel free to correct
me. This is public comment, so you have, please make your comments. It's okay.
Mrs. Garcia and Dr. Saunders have made requests for things to be put on the agenda dating back to January of 2019. Up and not and through this last meeting, which it was not on, to discuss the roles and responsibilities of the Finance Committee. This, to me, is the meat of everything. If they don't understand all their responsibilities and their roles, who is responsible for that? You. You people here on the board are responsible for making sure that these people are apprised of everything that you need and what their role is. If they make a mistake, it's on you. It's just like I volunteer for the El Dorado County Sheriff's Department. I'm a team member. I feel that the sheriff appreciates what I do. You should appreciate what they do. I feel that the deputies are there and the sheriff is there. If I make a mistake, they have my back. And they will correct it. As a nurse, I have worked as a team member with doctors, physical therapists, occupational therapists, respiratory therapists, and they, working as a team, we provided the optimum patient outcome for recovery. You need, all of you, as board members, you are the leaders. We elected you to do a job. You need to take this responsibility and help your volunteers, not erase them, please. That doesn't accomplish anything in the big world. There is so much muck out there now. We don't need it in here. I've lived up here on the divide since 1993. Can't do my math quick. Anyway, I've heard things about this board. I don't want to hear them anymore. I want to hear you working for the district and for me, the ratepayer. I'm a ratepayer now. I had a well before and I didn't care what you did. Now I do. It is your responsibility to help them, not fire them. If they made a boo-boo, correct it. Don't cut their heads off. They're here to help you. They both gave very, I thought, very good reasons. They're not stupid people. All of us live in a very small community. The divide is small, and it's amazing how people talk. You want positive talk about what you do as board members, not negative. And little old gray-haired ladies do talk, you know. They talk at the vets, they talk at the hairdressers, they talk at the nail salon. You don't want you want positive talk, because you may want to be reelected. You don't want that negativism. You want something positive. You're here to help all of us. The most important thing is to help your finance committee and your other members, anybody that volunteers to help you, work with them, not against them. Please. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Please.
Thank you.
I hope you rescind it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sir, please.
My name is Glenn Steer. I live in the Trails, one of the larger parcels. Moved in here a year and a half ago. My water bill tripled. I knew we were in trouble. I thought that's why we elected you people. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay? Put your people in, can take your people out. This, whatever the shenanigans is, I'm tired of it. Right? Sounds like someone's behind hurt here a little bit too much. And some people have made some mistakes. We can't afford that anymore. Okay, we got financial problems here, and we're doing what appears to be a song and dance. You're taking the financial committee, we got financial problems, and you're screwing with them? What's wrong with you? What are you doing here? Get it together, folks. Again, we put you here, we'll take you out. Get this crap behind you. Grow up. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Steve. Okay. Carolyn, please. Hey, Steve.
Carolyn O'Connor from Georgetown. You know, I thought things were bad before. But the action here taken here today is reprehensible and a travesty. And if anyone should be dismissed, it's Dave Halpin and Stephen Palmer.
Okay. Steve, you got the stop on there? Yes, please. Sorry, I don't remember your name. I apologize.
When Steve and Don were added to the Finance Committee, I thought, great, we've got some talent on the board to help us get out of some of the messes that we're in. A lot of the reasons why some of the prior board members were voted out was because of the spending problems and the money problems. So we need a Finance Committee. It's a very crucial part of this whole organization. And it's unfortunate that some people who work here do not like to get along, or does not get along, or don't like to work with other people. Well, you've got to work as a team. I do know these two people. I do know that they would work well. They're great people, and they're giving their time to help our community fix our water problems, because we've actually got bigger water problems on the horizons that you are not even aware of. It appears that none of y'all know about the ASRA. And that's a bigger problem, in my sense, than the financing right now. But either way, I haven't seen or heard any evidence of a violation of a Brown Act. Hearsay is not evidence. Personal preferences are not evidence. I would say if something was done wrong, you correct it, you move on, you say, what can we do next time that would not, this would not happen again? But, you know, if you've heard from people back here, we're fed up with the crap that goes on with this board. We've been able to get two members out. We are looking forward to the next election, to whereas we can vote for somebody that's going to make this board better. And I'm hoping y'all would maybe start seeing the light that a lot of us are fed up with this. And if y'all want to talk about Brown Act, everybody sitting here has probably violated the Brown Act. you posting things on Facebook about GDPR policy or saying it at the Dubai Chamber of Commerce, violation of Brown Act. You going around asking board members how are they going to vote before the vote, Brown Act violation. There's a lot of violations going on. Learn how to do it. If somebody needs help learning, just learn it. But I appreciate the fact that they're trying to not overspend money, trying to save us money. We're a small community. We don't have a lot of money. And so any dollar we can save and not have legal representation here, because that's not really a good way to spend our money, and it's our money. It's not just yours. So I would think that since really nothing has happened except some personality clashes, that we just move on, get things back in order, and let's get this going, because I think you really need to start looking at ASRA.
Okay, thank you. Who'd like to speak next? Please.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Frances Todd, and I am from Pilot Hill. This is my fourth GDP MUD meeting, so I don't know you all and you all don't know me. But from what my past experiences, I'm seeing that you were rightfully concerned that the Brown Act was going not to be presented to some new members to the Finance Committee. Okay? You talked to Mr. Wade, and he was able to get to pull the stuff together so that the meeting and the Brown Act did happen. So therefore, this is a non-issue. The other issue of Mr. Palmer jumping in, trying to be a nice guy, and doing the minutes, and then didn't getting them approved before publishing it, is not something to send him out the door with to replace him. It's a point of education on both of these issues. In my opinion, the punishment of what they want, what's going to happen, or what you would like to have the people remove, far outweighs the actual two incidents, and is not considered in the new theory of just culture. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. How much time do we have left? Just
6:44.
Okay. Mitch, please.
Hello, everybody. I'm planning on speaking today, but I just thought I'd address the board and the community. I serve at the pleasure of the board and represent the public on the Finance Committee, so you don't have to. So I just wanted to say that I've enjoyed my tenure on the board so far, and I'd like to see the teammanship and the ability we've all been able to work together so far, or the progress that we've made since being on the board. I really feel like we have a team together, and I feel perhaps like, you know, we all have our strengths, although I didn't really necessarily feel like I had a lot of strengths to offer, but I feel I have my own niche and my own skill set. But as the board met the last few months, we're all kind of settling in. We're getting used to work together, well together, and like a hand, you know. And I might be the pinky, but you know, I have my own detail. I'm a kind of detail guy, kind of the weeds. But I'll learn like I've seen Don and Steve. You know, work and the team, and they're big picture guys, but I'm the detail guy, and I'm getting used to it, and I'm having a good time, and I get my direction, you know, my assignments from Steve, and I get input from and my assignments from the agenda or from Steve's. I hear occasionally get emails from Steve, but I don't get direct or indirect input from the board, and that would be nice to meet on occasion. Just to get to know people. We're all on the same team, and I think it's important that to develop trust. That, I mean, I learned yesterday from the Brown Act that we're supposed to pretend we're not to know each other out in public, so we don't step over the line, so we don't talk business in public, so we don't violate any acts. But and if we do, we need to all be together. But it's only here that I see the gentleman, or I have to read it online or postings. And we're all on the same team looking after the best interests of the ratepayers in the community. And they all treat me respectfully, the board, the staff, the rest of the finance committee. And I just wanted to say that I think we're just all starting to get along, or the appearance thereof, until maybe today or yesterday. And it just like seems we're trying to make some headway, and we're having what appears to be 12 meetings a year instead of two, three at the last minute for the budget process. And we serve at the pleasure of the board, and they give us our agenda. And in the meantime, we offered our volunteer assistance and time. I should be working today. I gotta get back out on the road there to do my job tonight. But we're offering our assistance for the community to volunteer our own time. And if they don't have any action items for us or the staff, that we have our own little things that we thought that the community would want us to do to help reduce costs, streamline processes, and be efficient overall. And so I just personally think that we're doing a better job than we used to. And this caught me off guard totally. And I thought, in closing here, I thought that it made sense perhaps not to have the meeting for the same reasons they stated, because I didn't want to waste time and money, and time is money. And I'm one of the few people working, of the staff on the board or the finance committee, but it just made sense maybe to postpone it a week or two or three for the Brown Act. Maybe we've been on the boards 8 months, what's another 2 or 3 weeks, if we could save several hundred dollars anyway. But then I also thought that the minutes weren't maybe as complete or accurate. Let's just postpone it. But I didn't realize that until Steve clarified it to me. And then I said, well, maybe I should go then. But I didn't get influence from the outside by Steve or Don or anybody. It just made sense to me in the long run. It's not a hill to die on. And it just made sense that the Brown Act information meeting was important. And so at the end of the day, we got all our training yesterday and the meeting went fine. And I just like things to continue as usual. And I'm honored to be a part of the finance committee, working at the pleasure of the board and for the community. And that's pretty much all I had to say.
Okay. Thank you.
It's about 2 minutes.
Okay, sure.
And mine's real short. Everybody makes mistakes, and this seems not to be a major mistake. So Steve Miller and Don Waltz are trying to do what is best for our community on the Finance Committee. So I urge the board to not remove them from the Finance Committee. Thanks.
Okay. Karen, please.
I'll just keep it short. Okay. My name is Karen Bartholomew, and all I want to say is I've worked for a lot of different places, and if I've done something wrong, I've never been fired. I've always been, there's usually policies that will, you know, give you a demerit here, a demerit there, or whatever, but I've never just been cut from a job because I made a mistake. So I hope that they won't cut these two members of the Finance Committee. We really need this committee, and I think they've been doing a good job. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. You speak here?
Yes.
Well, everyone is dancing around the subject, and my opinion is that there's a conflict of interest between certain members of the board, and that needs to stop. This isn't about what may or may not have happened, because there is nothing that has been presented of which these gentlemen have done anything wrong. It's just somebody, a board member, stating he wants them off. Period. End of story. From what they've said by their testimony is they're trying to save the district money. It's my opinion again that certain members of the board, a majority most of the time, do not want to save the district money. They want to get their hands on as much money as they can and then distribute it to whoever and whenever that they can, so that they can have what, again, in my opinion, is a gift of public funds. This cannot go on. You guys think that you're king of the road or something, but you're not. Gentlemen come out and say, we're going to save you money, and God, that's the worst thing that you guys ever want to hear, is that we're going to save somebody money and take it away from the general fund. The general fund that you guys dip into at your pleasure. No one else wants to say it, but I will. I think you're all corrupt, in my own humble opinion. So I've said it, you've heard it, you guys know it, and it's time for more action. Thank you.
That was 20 minutes.
Okay. I'm getting the sense that we've heard all the comments. Liz, you have one? Okay, so if the board's okay, I'll go with five more minutes.
Sure.
Phyllis, please.
I just want to point out that what this looks like to me is we have a good, hardworking finance department, finally, and we have a general manager who feels threatened by it. And so he searched for a little technicality to get rid of a couple of them. And in doing so, he broke some real rules that he should know better. And that's all I have to say, except for that there are a lot of people here. I don't know if anyone else wants to say anything, and I hope they don't get cut off. That's all.
Sorry. Fine. A few more minutes.
Stephen Dowd, yes, please. Georgetown. Me and Cherie and this lady here yesterday were at the Finance Committee meeting, and were there present for the Brown Act reading.
Yeah.
I'm having a little trouble. I just had surgery and had the stitches taken out. These two fine gentlemen here were a blessing to this community and to this committee, the Finance Committee. Give them a break. Get the burr out of your saddles and give these guys a break. Keep them on. They're great. Thank you.
Anyone else? Once, one twice? Okay, so we will close public comment. We'll bring it back to the board for an action. A motion or not.
Before we make a motion, I got a couple of follow-up comments I'd like to make. In listening to all of the speakers today, by the way, thank you very much for being here. You guys took time out of your day to cut your activities short and rearrange your activities to be here. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you. But what I heard here today as a common denominator is, again, I want to reflect back to our board responsibility to guide this finance committee. We can resolve a lot of confusion if we would just step up and do our jobs and guide this finance committee to succeed rather than have them set up to fail, which is what we've been doing. So again, I'd like to just entertain the opportunity to throw it out there that we take this advantage, turn this around, train these individuals, give them some expectations and some guidance so that we don't find ourselves in this situation again.
Okay.
One final thought too is, what I'd like to throw out for these board members here today is for you guys to consider is something here, just I'll be very brief. Taking on the responsibility of guiding the ongoing activities of a finance committee shouldn't be a daunting task. Let me give you a real quick example. If the five of us could get together and we could talk about setting up a calendar, January through December, and an item on there in any given month, some might be empty, some might be full, we've already set up what we want to do and what we want to talk about in the 12 months on the monthly agenda coming up. We can set out expectations for them. We can revise the policy and the resolution and the procedures so that things are clear. That's not going to take a whole lot of work. This isn't a daunting task, but it is our responsibility. We could do these few activities in a short amount of time, get it done, get it written, and then have a standing agenda item to discuss ongoing finance committee activities on every month of every monthly board meeting. Some meetings we'll have something to discuss based on the calendar, some meetings we won't. If we don't, we move on to the next agenda. So I don't want it to be a daunting task and for anybody to be afraid of stepping up and assuming responsibility we should have already been doing. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that Don Waltz and Steve Miller be removed from the Finance Committee.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
One discussion.
I'm sorry?
Discussion.
Sure.
After hearing Mr. Miller and Mr. Waltz's testimony in the public's comments, I cannot back Director Halpin. This is a waste of time. Sorry.
I'd like to make a motion that we do not.
There's a motion.
You've got a motion open.
Hold on. Just a second. So, there's a motion on the table. Is there a second to this motion? Okay, so there is not a second, so therefore that motion dies. Fails. Whatever. Okay?
So I'd like to make a motion that we do not remove any of the individuals from the Finance Committee at this time.
We're not. That was the motion. I don't think there is another motion to remove anybody.
I want to make sure that it's on the record that we speak out for this Finance Committee and that we do not remove anyone from this Finance Committee today.
Second.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second to not remove anybody on the Finance Committee today.
Correct.
Okay. Very good. Gloria, can you please do a roll call?
Okay.
On that motion.
Sure. Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
I'll abstain.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay. Very good. So that's that.
I have a comment that I'm going to make anyway.
Okay, you can make it after.
I'm standing up now because here we have once again, when I joined this board.
We want to hear him. We want to hear him.
You can hear him.
You work for us. And we want to hear him, not you, Mr. Palmer.
I'm recording it, so I will make my recording available to the public. My recording is still running. Mr. Saunders, Director Saunders, go ahead, please.
I'm not sure here, but